This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, today is Exclusion Day in Oregon. We're going to talk about what that means for parents and children. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on with us. Dr. Bob, good morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, first of all, what ages does this apply to?
Well, this applies to children who are in public school and private school and kids who go to preschool or daycare.
And is that, this has been around for decades, kind of as an exclusion day. I don't know if that's moved around at different points, but this has been a long-term rule in Oregon, right?
This has been around since 1980.
Okay. Now, is it a mirrored, a long list of vaccinations, or what are the specifics?
Well, it's the typical vaccinations that we would expect kids to get and the kind of diseases that could pass to each other at school. So it includes the typical tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, measles, mumps, rubella, hepatitis A and hepatitis B. It does not include influenza or human papillomavirus.
Now, what about options for parents that don't necessarily want to have kids vaccinated or at least vaccinated for certain things?
So in Oregon, patients can claim non-medical exemptions, and there's a process to go through, but people can look that up on the state website of ways to claim a non-medical exemption.
Now, where can parents take their children to be vaccinated? I'm sure somebody always falls through the cracks, looks around today, and realizes they didn't meet the deadline. Where do they get kids vaccinated at?
Well, we anticipate this. Many of us leave things to the last minute, and so we've anticipated this so that all of the large clinics in town at Aviva, at Umpqua Health Alliance, at Evergreen, and at many of the pharmacies are especially geared up to give vaccines today so we can keep kids in school.
Now, does the number of vaccinations, is our percentage of kids vaccinated, does that tend to shift much as in Oregon, or has it been pretty consistent?
So it has been pretty consistent in Oregon. Oregon has one of the better immunization rates in the country. Unfortunately, what we've seen over the last few years is more parents are claiming medical exemptions, so that there are many schools that have relatively low rates of immunization, and diseases could start and then move themselves through the school.
Now, let's hit some other things as well, because we're kind of coming through the towards the end of winter here, another month officially. But, I mean, we've got some definite illness issues around the county, and we had a couple schools last week that were closed for at least part of the week. What are you seeing right now?
Well, we're seeing a very high level of influenza. So this has been an unusual influenza year in that we had a peak starting in December and then moved through January. And then went a low for a few weeks and now has come back. And that's this year because there are two strains of flu that are circulating. One is an H1N1 and the second is an H3N2. H3N2 is relatively new. So unless you've gotten the vaccine, most people don't have particularly good immunity against it. And if they get exposed to it, they'll get sick. And we think that's probably what circulating in schools.
Now, can you tell if you get sick, can you tell which one of those you have, or are the symptoms about the same?
Well, the symptoms between the two strains of flu are very similar, so it's hard to tell just from the basis of symptoms. And the tests we do group them together. So you can do a PCR test at the state lab, and we've been doing those, and we've been finding that most of the second wave has been the H3N2.
Now, are these hanging on? Are people ill longer if they get it?
Yeah, what we're seeing people have fairly abrupt onset, a fever, cough, sometimes vomiting, and they're pretty sick for 2 or 3 days and probably a week or so until they're back to good.
Now, how do you protect yourself from catching these?
So the best protection is to do the flu vaccine. While the flu vaccine is not perfect, it's pretty good. It was actually very good against the H1N1, a little less good against the H3N2. But the vaccine is the first line of defense. When you actually have the flu, there's a specific flu drug. It's an antiviral agent called Tamiflu, and Tamiflu seems to be quite effective. So for people who are at high risk for complications from the flu, either they're elderly, very young, underlying health conditions, Tamiflu can help them from getting sicker. So, you know, if you're in one of those high-risk conditions and think you have the flu, you should call your provider and figure out if you would be a good candidate for Tamiflu. Other than that, the best thing to do when you have the flu is to lay low, drink lots of fluids, take Tylenol or ibuprofen for the symptoms of body ache and headache.
Now, you mentioned some people getting complications. What are some of those potential complications?
Well, every year with the flu, we do see people who get tragically ill with the flu, and some even die. Most people are going to have a fairly significant but not serious illness, but some people with underlying conditions, and even sometimes young and healthy people, will get the flu and die of the flu. I've had two parents in the practice die of the flu, and it's just tragic because at least leaves the kids without their mom, and this would have been preventable with vaccine.
Now, can diet, supplements, vitamins, and are there other things that can help people just stay healthier in general so they are in better shape to fight some of this off?
Right. So we do know that people who are otherwise in good health seem to fight off infections better. And the best things we can do are to eat well, having lots of fruits and vegetables, sleeping well, getting at least 7 or 8 hours of sleep at night, and regular exercise. So that's what we would recommend so that people stay healthy.
Anything else out there in public health we ought to let folks know about this morning?
Well, we have had several cases of pertussis or whooping cough in Douglas County, and that's a very serious illness for babies and seniors. And so we've had a lot of whooping cough. Whooping cough starts off like a regular cold, but then gives this terrible, terrible cough that moves on. It, again, also is preventable by pertussis vaccine, and the cases we've seen have been kids who've not been immunized.
And what about during, especially during this winter time, what are we seeing with COVID?
We're seeing very little COVID. Actually, this has been the lowest winter for COVID since COVID came around, so we're not seeing very much COVID at this point.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, 8:39 at the morning report.